know I joked last week about foursoming y'all, but Jayhawk, you're looking a lot cuter, more femme. What's going on here?
Oh, hey, how's it going? Yeah, I just got done doing my ref circuit. Had a lot of time over many a weekend going, seeing all the sights, going to Allentown, working the territories. Butters, how's WrestleMania weekend?
Did you listen to a bunch of Jim Cornette while you were doing that?
No, I was listening to Jeff Jarrett's podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you definitely look very different, Jayhawk. I guess
Yeah, I've got hair now.
it's Jess Hawk now.
Yeah,
I
it's
want to wish you
Jesshawk.
the best on your transition, Jayhawk.
Or she's like
We're taking over.
one to go.
I if y'all
IWG
could
guy, oops,
figure
all trans.
it if y'all could figure it out, Jayhawk actually isn't with us this week. We are joined by a very special guest.
Yes,
It's me.
from the Pup Pack.
Yeah, Pup Pack taking over. It's me. It's Jess.
So yeah, Jayhawk is still in Philly, and he told me he wasn't going to be available this week, and I just blanked on that whole information, and so we didn't record on Monday, and I was like, well, we're going to record on Tuesday, and we better bring in the big guns. So we brought in Jess, and so it's Jess and Marcy and me, and it's IW Guide, and we're here. And it's another interesting week.
It was WrestleMania weekend.
It was. Did you wa What all shows did you guys watch?
I caught a bit of Spring Break and a bit of Big Gay Brunch, which will probably be a review coming soon on the Pup Pack. What I watch, you know what? I watch a non-WrestleMania thing, a classic, if you will. I showed my friend the classic Briscoe versus Briscoe match from that backyard in Delaware.
Nice,
That shit
nice.
still goes so hard.
I watched Spring Break. I obviously had to see Danhausen against Nick Gage because that's a thing that happened. Holy shit, the main event with Joey and Blake did not need to be that long. But whatever. Clusterfuck was interesting. The Punjabi prison was very interesting. I think the highlight of that was Dom running away from the Sawzall. He did hit a pile driver though. I did ask him to hit a pile driver in the match, which he probably didn't even see that I asked him that, but he did hit a pile driver.
The important thing is in your mind, you can believe it was for you.
Yeah, and it was a spike pile driver too, so it's pretty sweet. What else did I watched ETU. That was pretty
I
good.
do need to watch that. Like I said, I was like a huge Dragon Gate fan back in the day, so I'd love to see like what some of the newer Dragon Gate guys are doing with a publisher cool indie talent.
Yeah, they had a bunch of them on Spring Break on Friday, and they're pretty decent. I liked what I saw. ETU was a good time. Always shout out to them. They're friends. We sponsored a match coming up with them, so gotta shout them out. Let me think, what else did I watch? I watched Mania, I guess. I think the best match to me was definitely Sammy and Gunther.
Oh, by a mile.
That was definitely my shit there.
We got
Dude,
a
when he
Mania
did,
brainbuster. I fucking lost my mind at that.
yeah, it was good stuff. Like, I thought either one of two things was gonna happen. Either he was gonna fucking make the ref stop the match, or he was gonna eat that top rope brainbuster after he started going on the top rope. And the second time, I'm like, oh no, here we go. He's gonna fucking eat that brainbuster. So, and it came off really good. So,
Despite some people thinking it was a botch.
oh yeah, what the fuck. These internet experts are something else, I'll tell you.
That has to be one of the first wrestling tweets I've seen get noted.
I do think my favorite tweet that I saw about Mania was that Michael Cole was cosplaying as the new Magneto from X-Men 97 because his suit had the M on it, like in white, and then he had like the darker red colored suit. I was like, holy shit, he did that by accident, but that's fucking hilarious.
The best. Doing that and also doing his own storm impression, given weather updates throughout night one.
Right, like I at least it didn't snow or rain this time. That's They got lucky with that.
They were able to leave the batteries at home.
You really run the risk whenever you're running an outdoor show, huh?
I mean, I've been to an AIW show where it downpoured in the middle of a match, which was fucking sweet because they kept going. It was really cool. But also, like, I just remember the Mania. Like, that's like a thing that comes up all the time. Samoa Joe and the fucking poncho, like at the Mania in Florida, just fucking getting rained on, like.
That was his last
Randy
Mania,
Rose
wasn't
eating it
it?
on the ramp.
I think so, yeah. Quick shout outs, Zach, Chris, Andrew, and Brock. And of course, special shout out to Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Patty,
Hi, Patty.
I will see you Thursday. I'm coming to the AIW show.
We'll all be there.
I'm
Yes,
tired,
we
but I will
will.
be there. So people have to bring me Red Bulls. I like the watermelon and I like the peach nectarine ones. So hook me up with those to keep me awake.
How do you feel about the white ones?
I don't think I've ever had a white one. I've had like the red. I've had like all the. I don't know. No, I don't think I've had a white one.
Everyone bring Butters the white ones. Ultra Zero,
You
baby.
are trying to force fed me, and
I
you
don't know what
said,
you're talking about.
and
It's just a
I don't appreciate it right now.
nice, good, sugar-free flavor. That's all.
I need sugar. Give me the sugar. I don't want sugar free. Ew. Well, let's get into what's on because our guest is waiting. So. All right, up first on Triller TV, powered by Fight. I think that's the dumbest thing when he says that every time. I don't know why the fuck I just said it. And everybody always bitched about this schedule, and I never believed them because I never ever had to look at it. But this fucking Triller TV schedule is zonky as shit. So I guess in Australia there's some big StarCast wrestling show bundle happening in Australia. So on Friday you can check out Her by Mickie James, which I think is like a one-woman show, maybe? No, there's actually a wrestling lineup here. It's a women's show hosted by Mickie James. So let's see what we got on the card. There's a six-pack open challenge with local Australian talent. Australian challenge, Tennille versus Jessica Troy. AAA Reina de Reigns triple threat championship, Steph DeLander, Flamer, and Jody Threat.
Flamer is a sick name, let me tell you.
Also in the lineup, Bull Nakano crowns first ever OPW Women's Tag Team Champions, Frankie B and Nikki Van Blair versus Kingsley and Shea Cassidy. The Backslide Girls is what their tag team name is. That's interesting.
They've got to win.
And also the TNA Knockouts World Champion will be on the line when Jordynne Grace defends her title against Delta and the international match between Mickie James and Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox.
Yeah.
I
I
hope I
want
see
to.
a Northern Lights suplex.
And then on Saturday is the Bret Hart Presents Australian Stampede, and that features Kushida against Robbie Eagles, Powerhouse Hobbs against an Australian to be announced, Shelton Benjamin against Slex the Business, Stu Hart Heritage Championship, Chris Masters, who's the current champion, against Mike Rallis. Chris Masters, peck dance guy. We just talked about him last week. For the OPW Tag Team Championship, Fangin' and Bangin', Gangrel and Edward Dusk. Let me tell you, Edward Dusk is an obvious vampire name. If you Edward from fucking Twilight, like that's horrible. Versus the tag team champions, Pariah. Also the TNA World Championship, Moose will defend against Josh Alexander. And the OPW Championship match, where the champion Adam Brooks defends his title against Mance Warner. So, two big shows happening in Australia this weekend, available on Fight. Looks like you can purchase them for like $16.
Butters, how dare you bury Twilight? We had the eclipse on Monday. How can you do that to us?
Oh man, did your powers unlock when you after the eclipse?
I stared in the eye of God and I survived.
They had like a whole thing at work. We had a shirt that our work made for us. Of course, they didn't have my size, so I had to get a size smaller, and it was all tight and ill-fitting on me.
Should have
And
just done the Shawn Michaels cutoff for it.
I would look like Winnie the Pooh.
Be a sick wrestler look.
That's why I'm
That
not. That's why I'm not a wrestler.
could be your gear for next year at the Odyssey.
Yeah, I'm thinking I might do something more elaborate next year at the Odyssey. I don't know, we'll see.
All right. Oh, sorry. Over on IWTV, big show on Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific time, as Prestige Wrestling presents Roseland 8, featuring Lio Rush taking on Jaden, Sonico and C4 versus Bullet Club War Dogs, Trish Tadora taking on Amira, Dirty Breeze taking on Midnight Heat, Daniel McCabe taking on Zack Sabre Jr., and Kevin Back in the main event, Kevin Blackwood taking on Mustafa Ali.
Ooh, that'll be sick.
And for stuff not on Fight or IWTV, 880 Wrestling will be on Thursday at 8 on indiewrestling.us on YouTube. Check them out. We're sponsoring them all month long. And then I believe we are also sponsoring their big show at the end of the month, which is Gianni Michael Emerico's Family Ties 2. We have a match on that card for the IW Guide Championship. As of right now, we only have two competitors announced out of the four in that four-way elimination match. The IW Guide Wrestler of the Year, Derek Dillinger, and Mikey Montgomery are the two in that lineup. Hopefully, we'll find out who the other two are before the show.
Plus, you'll get to see me DJ.
Yeah. AIW has a show on Thursday as well, and I'll give you four of the big matches from that I'm definitely looking forward to. First up, the production, Derek Dillinger and Katie Arquette are going against Bronson and Gabby Forza. That's what actually made me decide to go to the show. I think that match is gonna fucking be sweet. Also, we got Jocelyn Navarro against Zaya Brookside. That's gonna fucking rock. Dominic Greeny against Shaw Mason when Shaw Mason gets his ass beat in front of all his dorky ass fans. And hopefully Dom makes it so he can't ever walk again. And Chuck Stone against Swoggle, because who doesn't like a good, ridiculous clusterfuck of a match?
I'm also excited to see the BAX versus members only fight.
One, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fights that
start from bowling need to get squashed. Speaking gotta get back of that, to bowling.
Speaking of that bowling print vignette, did you see what Nipsey's bowling score was?
I didn't look that closely. What was it?
I forget the exact number. It was in the 30s.
He's a hustler. He ain't a fucking bowler. Hustlers don't bowl.
Of course, you can hustle people on the lanes. Get some money.
He can maybe hustle at. He probably hustles at pool. Pool's probably his game, and he definitely ain't fucking bowling if he's in the 30s.
Yeah, he's definitely a snooter for sure.
Also, there's a four-way, Wes Barkley, Kaplan, Tyson Riggs, and Sam Holloway. Poor Tyson Riggs and Wes Barkley's having to go in between Sam Holloway and Kaplan. That's gonna ruin some days. How about fucking Kaplan in the clusterfuck and then selling fucking jerky to everybody?
I love that for him. I love that so much.
Kaplan understands wrestling better than anyone in the world, except Kevin Nash.
Dr. Dan will be in action against Nipsey Nash. Can't wait for that. Fucking Dr. Dan, man, he was not happy with my joke, my microman joke. I'll tell you what. Also, we got Vic Vice against Alex Melee on that card.
That could be a sleeper match of the show.
I think it's gonna be really good. Alex Melee is, I really love his work of trying to get an intense title match. Austin James versus Tyler Jordan also on that card. All that happening Thursday is happening tonight, as I realize that this is when the episode's releasing. So check out 880 Wrestling on YouTube, indiewrestling.us on YouTube for 880 Wrestling. AIW, if you're in the Cleveland area, come out to
Mercury Lounge.
Oh, also speaking of 880, I believe they will be dropping their Philly show this week as well.
Will they?
I think, let me double check, but I think MV tweeted something about it.
I know he was teasing about dropping the whole crew eating 75 cent wings and getting kicked out as like a tease about the footage being released on Wednesday, which I told him I would come help out with because I like wings. So
880 loves their family table vignettes. I'll say that.
I fucking love the vignettes they do for the monthly show. I can't
They're
wait so to good. See what they come up with.
They're the best.
Yes, so by the time you are listening to this, it will be live to watch. Obviously, it already happened, but yes.
Fuck yes. So check that out, too. If you're in the Cleveland area, Mercury Lounge, AIW tonight. I believe it starts at 7:30. Come hang out. Bring me flavored Red Bull. None of that white zero sugar bullshit. I need sugar in my Red Bull.
Bring those for me.
Yeah, bring those for Marcy. Bring me the watermelon Red Bulls, if you would, please. Please and thank you. I will bring sour Skittles, so I will have some sour Skittles on hand.
Jess, what energy drink would you like to request people bring?
Oh, I will take any energy drink that is given to me. But I do like the sugar-free ones. I'm working on cutting down, slimming out for Rager Weekend.
Jess said that she wants me to spit energy drink into her mouth. So I think that's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna mama bird you some energy drink.
I think you should do it like those fountains. You just have to get the arc right.
Oh, that'd be a sight to behold. That may or may not get us kicked out of the Mercury Lounge.
If you do it
Butters, will
right.
you be my cherub fountain?
All
yes, I will take my shirt off and be your cherub fountain.
I'll lay under between the both of you and catch whatever doesn't go into Jess's mouth.
Oh my God.
You did this.
I did do this. And I'm sure Patty will be taking a photo of such things,
I'm
laughing
sure it won't just be
hysterically.
Patty.
Oh, yeah. Oh boy.
Also, if you're going to the AIW show, allegedly there's going to be some hornswoggle karaoke. So please, so if that's your thing, get excited. Drop your requests.
I saw him do some Nelly at the Wale Mania.
Do you think they'll have Vault at the karaoke, Jess?
I don't know about that one.
Fuck it, I have the song. We don't even need the lyrics.
Doing interviewing.
Marks on the internet that ask the questions that they think are cool to ask.
All right, joining us this week, the voice of 880 Wrestling, Toddy Tondera.
Hey folks, how you feeling tonight?
A little tired earlier, but I'm getting into the groove.
I was tired, but I just got woken up.
Yeah.
What did you two get woken up by?
Our very boisterous intro, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I had to turn it down over here. As I mentioned before, I had a tooth split in half today, so I'm happy to be here on better terms. Hopefully the other half of my tooth will grow back before this episode is over.
We sometimes have that power, so.
I didn't stare at the eclipse long enough. I'm sorry.
What time did that happen here on the East Coast?
So it was 3:15 ish
Yeah,
in
totality
like
up
Western
here. I,
PA.
fair
yeah,
enough.
totality up here about 3:15.
It was super cloudy and super gray, like it is all the time in Pittsburgh. So I didn't know if I saw it or did see it, but you're not supposed to look at it. So yeah, I didn't see anything.
That's what the glasses are for.
I see that. I saw everybody and their partners on Instagram, like, oh, I'm looking at the sky. It's like, great. That must be nice for you. That must be so nice for you.
It's the government trying to keep you away from your X-Men powers.
Yeah, I hear there's a new X-Men series that picks up after the last X-Men, but I haven't seen that yet because, of course, I don't have Disney Plus. I don't have all those applications. I don't have more than your basic applications. But cable is back, folks. Don't let the big media shy you away from that. Cable's back. You're just paying for channels individually on the applications now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And the X-Men cartoon is back, and it is awesome as ever. There's blood in it now. They can swear a little bit. It's a
I
little bit edgier
love
for us older guys. You know, it's cool.
blood. I love swearing. Swearing and blood are two of my four favorite things.
Butters, you neglected the most important part. Gambit's rocking a crop top sometimes.
He is, and even his voice actor's rocking that crop top. So,
Getting
hell
into
yeah.
character, right?
Hell yeah. So I guess we should start off. How did you get into announcing? 'Cause did you try out for the school and decide maybe you want to do something else? Or how did you get into announcing for 880?
Well, so I'm primary the commentator for 880 Wrestling out of Western PA. So it is something that I've always wanted to do. Now, earlier on in my life, when I was a little kid, I used to record myself on cassette tapes, doing wrestling commentary, sports commentary, and my grandfather would a lot of the times be the wrestler, and I would be the interview. So there was countless cassette tapes of me doing this. Some of which, there's a few of them on YouTube.com, the website, still, but you have to dig. But you could hear Little Toddy and my grandfather being the wrestler, and I was interviewing him. So it's something that I always wanted to do. Years back, now T2T Pittsburgh is the school, 880 Wrestling is the wrestling promotion. Years back, I did comedy, public access comedy in New York with a bunch of friends, and some of those friends ended up starting T2T Brooklyn.
Okay.
So T2T Brooklyn was my original ties to that. And so I wasn't in wrestling for a while, but I was close to them up there. And then once the T2T Pittsburgh school started, I was like, finally, I could have a possible opportunity. And thankfully, I did have that opportunity. So then I kind of started there when the school started. But it was always a hope for me in my life. But as I got older, it didn't seem like it was going to happen. So I just stuck to, like, I did podcasting for 5 or 6 years. So talking into microphones wasn't uncommon, but someone letting me do it other than myself was definitely uncommon. So T2T Pittsburgh was my first gig. 880 Wrestling was my first official gig, but I did a bunch of comedy stuff, microphone stuff adjacent to T2T Brooklyn before.
So you always wanted to commentate and do like that kind of stuff. You never wanted to actually like get in the ring and wrestle?
To be fair with you, not really. Not really. I mean, sure, I thought about it, but everyone thinks about it. But no, being the voice of something, being the narrator of something, telling my own stories and stuff like that has always kind of been the interest. So it was more of an interest in the microphone in comedy. So it was more of an interest in the microphone in pro wrestling.
Okay. Who in pro wrestling did you really like, as far as commentary goes? Who did you look up to when you were kind of doing your thing? Was there anybody specific or?
Sure. One of my first interests was somebody who's not in wrestling anymore, who used to own the WWE. So the early 90s was when I first took to wrestling. I mean, old Jim Ross was kind of cool, but it wasn't really my flavor. It was a little bit too masculine. So actually, a lot of the people that I looked up to were comedians back then, and anybody that could tell like a good story, I would say.
Okay, so how did you go from New York to Pittsburgh? What made you want to move from New York to Pittsburgh, other than probably the cost of living being cheaper?
Well, here's the funny part: I never lived in New York. I always lived in Pittsburgh. It's just my ties were in New York. I did comedy in New York. And what I used to do was I used to take a mega bus from Pittsburgh to New York, like maybe like 3 times a year, and did some stupid stuff on, yeah, my buddy's at the time public access show. And then his show went to cable. And then once I went to cable, our group kind of like aged out in the sense of everybody started doing their own thing. So we were less of like a part of this. Now we started our own thing. So I had friends in New York since I was younger. So I used to travel up to them all the time. So again, that's why it was so cool when T2T Pittsburgh first started to happen, because I wouldn't have to travel to do any of that stuff anymore. I can do it close by. So it was a cool shot for me, and it's helped me, own my craft for now. I mean, I didn't have a specific teacher. I don't have a teacher or anything. So I'm just learning on the fly, but I've taken to other commentators and stuff like that. Doc Diamondfire, T2T Brooklyn was definitely a dude that I was always like, yeah, that's somebody I want to be adjacent to, you know, and stuff like that. So there was a lot more people in indie commentary that I kind of wanted to follow the lead of.
Yeah, I remember first like tuning into 880, and you were a one man booth, just putting it all out there and killing it. And, it really impressed me. I remember talking about that on the review. Like, you were like, I think we even referenced, like, you were basically their Joey Styles, just doing everything. And, I think it's super impressive that, you know, you didn't even like really have anybody to keep you under that wing, and you're just doing it. I think that's really dope that you're just able to do it like that.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, at least that I know of in the podcasting world, you folks were probably the first podcast that I heard a positive review of myself on. So I still do appreciate that. I mean, some folks in Cleveland were some of the first folks that reached out and were like, "Hey, you're doing a good job down there." And I was like, "Oh, well, that's that. Thank you. Thank you for telling me that. I appreciate that. I'm still not very good, but I hope to get better as time goes on."
I think that I don't know, for indie wrestling, there's a handful of like really good commentators. I know like Dylan Hales comes to mind, him and John Mosley, when they do their stuff together, and they're mostly based out of like Action and Southern area wrestling. But then we have like our guys at AIW, we have Dustin Alberti, who I believe has come to 880 and commentated 880 recently. And then we have President Matt Wadsworth, them two on commentary just kill it for AIW. And but I think you bring something different. Like you have that punk rock flavor to your commentary, to where like you throw out, you know, certain like political things when you're talking, and when you're telling the story, you get into it. And I feel like as a commentator, when you get into it and you're feeling those emotions, that's what reminds me of like when Jim Ross would fucking get into them emotions during like those stories with Stone Cold and Triple H and McMahon and all that, is like he was feeling it. He was in there. Like it made you feel those emotions because he was feeling those emotions. So I think you tap into that. And when certain stuff is happening, when you're really into it, you're into it. And there's other times I could tell you're kind of just like lax doing your thing, but like there's sometimes you're really focused on whatever the story is, and you're really into it. And it, like, that's what to me makes a good commentator, is because you make me feel what you're feeling watching that happen. And it's really cool.
I appreciate that. A couple of ones that out of Naptown Pro, Percy Davis did at least one of MV Young's Polycult shows, those backyard shows. Mm-hmm. And Percy Davis was always one that I liked. Darnell Mitchell with Uncanny Attractions is another one that's very good. I had the chance to work with Darnell at Wrestler's Lab recently, Wrestler's Lab up in New Jersey. He was another one that I really liked, but that's still something I want to do. I still want to work with Percy Davis at some point, because that was definitely, at least from this era of indie wrestling, the modern era of indie wrestling, the definitely a voice that I've heard that I was like, yeah, that's somebody who, again, I'd like to be adjacent to.
Right on. Jess, you got you want to go next, or Marcy, whoever wants to go next?
Yeah, I can pick up. So you had mentioned a lot that a lot of your experience was in comedy, and also through public access. Public access is sort of a lost form of media. Now, a lot of people don't, probably if I ask somebody about why Wayne's World exists, it is like so far removed from the public consciousness that people around my age would be like, well, it's the Shrek dude. But speaking of like old media, do you collect physical media, anything of the sort?
Yeah, I mean, I buy and sell vintage clothing, so I own a lot of vintage clothing. I collect VHS, all kinds of VHS. That's a big collection of mine. Growing up, I collected like Pokemon cards. I still have Pokemon cards, but nowadays it's VHS, it's vintage clothing. So those are amongst my collection. Weird little trinkets here and there, cute little weird little trinkets, stuff like that. But yeah, I'm definitely a proponent of physical media, and I have that stuff for sure. I probably have too much stuff. I live alone, so I kind of spread out a little bit.
Oh, I know it'll be a nightmare when I try to move all of the Blu-rays and DVDs and random VHSs I have. It's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. So if there's one thing to take, if there's one thing to take from this, I live very alone. So if there's anybody listening, I would say very alone is a good couple of words to put in front of me.
Howdy knows how to fill the time with conversation, so you don't have to worry about that.
Very alone, Toddy Tondera.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that okay, that's just gonna be the show title now. It was very alone.
Cool.
Oh, I love you, Toddy.
Thank you for loving me. I wish I had more love in my life.
We all love you, Toddy.
Oh wow.
You were the first person I talked to when I went to 880. I was like kind of just standing around not knowing what was going on, and like I recognized you and I came up and talked to you, and then you introduced me to everybody. So like, you know, made sure I had like water to drink and like that I was enjoying the show and everything. So you're like the 880 welcome wagon for people. Like it made me feel welcome, and it kind of like made me feel comfortable about like being there. Cause like, I was like very uncomfortable until I talked to you. So I always appreciate that.
I appreciate that for sure. And I do try to do that, because like a lot of the times, and it's not just with like pro wrestling either, it's just a lot of the times, like if somebody like rolls up to a gig that they want to take a chance on, but don't really know anybody there, or just coming in to see what the heck is happening, it always sucks to kind of roll in and nobody really say like hello or what the heck's going on. So I try to, you know, shake some hands. I try to say hello to people coming in, because I want people to have fun and I want people to come back. That's the thing too. It's just like if you go somewhere, and again, it's in wrestling, but it's in everywhere else. You go somewhere, and even if you like something and then you leave, if you don't really have much of a connection to it, you may not come back. And so I want to invite people in, and hopefully they see something they like. You know, I'm sure everything isn't perfect all the time, that's for sure. But if they could find something they connect to, that's awesome. So I always want to say hi to people and make sure they feel comfortable and make sure they feel welcome.
That's awesome. I mean, that's pretty much how I met everybody here. I just went to a couple of AIW shows and Marcy's like, hey, I've seen you a lot. Do you want to be friends? And then that's how I got here.
Now you're on this podcast and now you're stuck forever.
Yeah.
Twitter helps too. Like we all are on that space, even though we hate it a lot of the time.
And some of us are shadow banned.
A lot of us in the AIW crowd commiserate on Twitter about things. And when you started popping up on there, then that's when it's kind of like, okay, I know you from Twitter. I will talk to you in person. And you also had the luscious hair that was talked about before we even knew who you were quite a bit. As
my hair? My hair.
You also got great hair.
You do have great hair. You do have great hair. But I was talking about Jess's hair.
Yeah, I was going to say Jess's hair is far better than mine.
Jess was rocking the Jungle Boy curls for a hot minute when we first met her. So that was, you know, the talk was, oh, there's Jungle Boys in the crowd. And
other JB was born.
Yeah. And so it was the longest time that people thought we meant the other Josh Bishop. Which was like, no, that's not what we mean at all. But yeah, Jess is now rocking bangs and stuff. And what do you think about the bangs, Toddy? Do you fuck with the bangs? The bangs look all right.
Check it out. Bangs are very in. Bangs are very in, Mr. Butters. I'd love to see you with the bangs coming down. But no, the hair is great for Jess, for sure. I wish mine kind of always looked like this, but as I'm getting older, it's less full and it's more like wiry and stuff like that. I've always said like when you're like younger, you have like younger hair and then you get like adult hair. Like it just starts coming in different, and around like 33-ish for sure. I just start getting a different type of hair, like a thinner, more disrespectful hair, I would say.
Also, I want to say I really appreciate on this podcast we have the two divergent paths for trans femme haircuts.
Hell yeah, yeah, that is kind of true, isn't it? That is kind of true. Yeah, it's a good night. What about that Twitter app? I'm not on the Twitter application. I never really have been.
I don't blame you.
I hear it's very bad over there.
So I think if you can block and mute people that irritate you and just like bring your follows to people that you really enjoy dealing with, that you will have no issue with Twitter. But it's very difficult to do and time consuming, because there's always a new jackass on there that's going to have a really dumbass take and say mean things. So I feel like it's not worth it to new people, but if you can curate your like your follow thing, like I mine's pretty decent. I don't see a lot of like the really bad stuff that people like. I only see it when they get quote tweeted and people are bitching it back at them about something. I have mine curated enough that I don't see too much of the bad stuff. I see a lot of like, you know, like this weekend was a lot of love for everything. There wasn't a lot of miserable people this weekend, thank God. So
yeah, I'm not much of a new jackass. I'm more of an old jackass. And I'm on the Instagram application and have fun on there. I went to a fake art school and got a fake degree. So I went to school for photography. So I like seeing pictures and videos and stuff. So I tend to keep to that app instead.
Yeah, I wish I could figure out how to turn on notifications for my Instagram, especially the IW Guide account, because you message me on there and I don't think to check it. And then I go on, you sent me like four messages and I'm like, I felt so bad because like...
Oh, it's all good. I mean, networking, right? Networking, they tell you. Networking is important, right?
So. Yeah, I gotta fix that because that's how I talk to certain people. So I gotta figure out why it's not like sending me alerts. It's I don't know. It's a pain.
It's probably just something in your settings.
I know, because at one point I had all that stuff turned off, and now I'm trying to like figure out how to turn everything back on, but not turn all the annoying stuff on. And I don't know what I did. I'm gonna have to Google it.
And this has been Adventures in Technology with Grandpa Butters.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the same thing, Toddy, like you said, you get like 33 years old.
Yeah.
And then it's just, I don't give a fuck about new stuff that much anymore. Like it takes me a while. Like it took me like 4 years to get a PS5. Like I'm not.
PS5?
Yeah.
I'm not even. Out?
Yeah.
Damn. Is there any Roller Coaster Tycoon games on that?
Probably.
I would assume. Yeah.
Fire Pro and Roller Coaster Tycoon are the only two things that I play on the PS4. That's the only two things. Fire Pro Wrestling,
and
Roller Coaster Tycoon are the only good things on that PlayStation 4, I'll tell you.
Well, the great thing is you could just buy the PS5 and you can just play those games.
Sheesh. Okay, well, you convinced me. I will look into this PlayStation 5.
But yeah, it's like once you get to a certain age, it's like I used to like work on cell phones and stuff, and now I don't follow all the latest tech on shit. I don't care anymore. I take naps now. I never used to take naps. I'm a napper now, so
I honestly can't relate.
Growing into my 38 year old phase here. Turned 38 in August, and I'm just getting old, nice and old with age, being grumpy, telling people to get off my lawn and shit now.
Very cool. I one day I hope to have a lawn, so you know that would be very, very cool for me.
Just you know, like plant a little like a patch of grass in a pot, and it's, you know, you could set it outside and get it some sun. And
pot, I thought this was an all ages show talking about pot on this. Sheesh.
I don't know. We swear and everything else. I don't think it's all ages. I think it's mature audiences only.
Wow.
Besides, it's like legal now. So
yeah, you know, if you're 18 plus, right? Or is it 21? I don't know.
I think it's 21.
I'm not.
It's 21.
Is it 21? Yeah, I'm not allowed to partake because of my job has government contracts. So I get tested. So I'm not allowed to.
Wow, being a podcaster, they test you. That's crazy. That is so crazy. When I was a podcaster, they didn't test me. That was so, I guess, restrictions these days. Jeez, nobody could have fun.
That's why we say be gay, do crime.
Yeah.
No peds in podcasting.
Yeah.
So you said you podcasted, so let's talk about that. What did you bring to the world of podcasting? What did you talk about?
Well, ultimately, I didn't bring much to the world of podcasting, but I think I've done three different podcasts in my life. My latest one I did for like, I don't know. I did it for like 4 or 5 years, but there was some breaks in between. Highlights of that, it's called Thrifty, and it was just about secondhand shopping. It was called Thrifty Secondhand Shopping for Worm People. And we used to go to the Goodwill outlet bins and collect finds, and then we'd sit down and record episodes on them. I guess the biggest highlight of that was in 2019, it won Pittsburgh's best podcast via the city paper.
Oh, so wow.
I mean, I mean, that's a while ago now. That don't matter. That was forever ago. But
that's
it
more
did.
Awards than we've ever won on this show. So
yeah, they can't erase it though. It happened. Yeah.
That's the stuff that I say. That's what I say, Marcy. I mean, I did do that. I mean, I didn't do much that more than that. But in 2019, the City Paper in Pittsburgh said best podcast. I even got a little framed picture. How about that? Framed picture over here. Yeah. So, thrifting and stuff like that, secondhand shopping has always been something that I've done since I was barely double digits. I was like 10, 11 out there hawking stuff. I always had some type of, I've always been real poor. So I've always had to do like something for money. So that was like one of the first things I got into was flipping stuff at the flea market. So,
which kind of leads me to a question, because you do Brick Body Kids. Is that all just come from your like your enjoyment of thrifting and trying a way to turn it into like a business kind of type of deal? Or
I would say a lot of it, yes. Now, Brick Body Kids, at Brick Body Kids on Instagram, that is something I've been doing for a little bit now too, and that's what I guess I do for a living. But I buy and sell vintage clothing. I do like vendor pop-ups, all that kind of stuff. So yes. And in fact, next month I'm doing like a seminar at a local library to teach people how to find vintage clothing. So it's something I haven't done before because I'm not much of a snitch, but I am going to tell people how to find vintage clothing.
So now you're going to have more competition. That seems counterproductive, Toddy.
Yeah, I don't mind competition. I just don't like the idea of being a snitch. But it is for people at the library, and that's very nice. But yeah, Brick Body Kids is cool. Unfortunately, in September, my knee absolutely exploded. So I have had maybe one of the roughest years in my life currently. Not 2024, but I'm saying from like a certain time to a certain time, not a calendar year. So unfortunately, with Brick Body Kids, it's been hindered because I haven't been able to do much physical labor. But in the past couple of months, I'm trying to get back to it because obviously I need to get some money in the bank so I can travel more. So I'm getting back to it, but it is at Brick Body Kids. I do have an eBay and all that stuff too. So any vintage questions, as long as you're a listener to the IW Guide, I will give you some tips.
You have to confirm you have our episodes downloaded before Toddy will give you any information.
Yeah, you have to have, to get the first tidbit of information, you have to have 10 episodes downloaded. If you have 20, we'll welcome you into the family. I'll give you more information. If you have them all, you could be my business partner. 50-50.
And if you are a member of the Patreon, that's automatically you get put into the business partner tier as well.
See that? You got a good racket going on. We could kind of network, as they say. We could get something going. See that?
We're helping each other out.
Yeah.
I do also have to ask, how does it feel to have the longest quickie with me? By the way, available on our Patreon, Quickie with Marcy.
Oh, I appreciate having the longest quickie with you. And you know what? I'd do it again. How about that? I'd do it again.
Those were fun to film. We haven't done any in a while. We might have to bust those out again soon.
I think the 880 crew is due for another one.
We didn't get everybody we wanted. So yeah, they are definitely, there's still a list.
And to go back to that quickie, what makes Femboy so great? As the number one femboy appreciator on this podcast, I like to know from people why.
Oh, you're asking me what makes a femboy great?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good one. Well, that's a good one. I'll tell you what, personally speaking, between me and you and nobody else listening, when a bigger dude talks to me, he always thinks that I'm going to be like his little something, like his little this, his little that, and it's like, no, that's not how it's gonna work at all. So I appreciate femboys because they seemingly are more like me than those other dudes are, and they seem to be very nice. They seem to be very nice to me. So I'm a femboy appreciator for sure.
This is, I'm trying to make this the wrestling podcast for femboys. So, you know, I gotta,
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
trying to
yeah.
raise awareness.
Yeah, well, it's great to, it's great to, my first time letting people aware, I actually came out on television. I probably said that before to you, though. I was on television and I came out on TV.
I don't think I recall that.
Oh,
we,
no?
I don't think we
Okay.
heard that story.
That's
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was, sheesh, it was a little while ago now. I was on, if you're familiar with Chris Gethard, he's a comedian. He had a show. That's the show I used to work on a little bit. And it ended up going to True TV. And there was an episode where the topic was like, say something you never said before out loud or something like that. And I mean, to be very fair, a lot of people in my personal life already knew, and they knew for years. Obviously, partners knew as well. But publicly, I came out to the idea was is I was I told the rest of my living family that I talked to watch it because they did not know. So they that so I came out on television to come out in front of them. It was a little cheat code, though, because all my friends were at the studio, everything like that. And the reason why I did it that way, I thought it actually would be easier. And I thought it'd be easier because all my friends were there. So they were cheering. Like, so when I did that, they were like positive about that. And that's what I wanted my family to see, like that it wasn't like this, obtuse thing or uncommon thing, right? So I wanted them to see like positive reinforcement, and it was a bit of a cheat code. It wasn't as hard as it would be any other way, believe it or not. Though, yes, people saw it on television, but you know, I was at home in my bedroom by myself, kind of like I am now.
Was there any fear? Because it obviously doesn't air immediately right after, with the time between worrying about how your family would react in that regard.
It was live TV.
It was live TV. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of fear. I wouldn't say a lot of fear. There was some fear. But to be fair, I did it because I was not afraid of that fear, if that makes sense. So it's not that I didn't have a fear. It's just like that was me saying that wasn't going to stop me, if that makes sense. But again, a lot of people in my personal life already knew. But some people didn't. Some people didn't.
And yeah, I'm sure I'll have a. It'll be a fun time in October ish whenever my LinkedIn gets updated. So yeah. That'll be a fun time.
Right.
And then last question. You know, you listen to this podcast. So I'm sure you're familiar with the wrestling sleaze list.
Yes.
So yeah, we're going to have you pick a number between 1 and 460. And then we're going to discuss if we think it's real.
Okay. Well, I heard Gianni the bowler, he picked a. He picked a few good numbers. So I guess what these are stories in wrestling that are very strange and possibly true. I'm going to pick number 47. That's always been my lucky number, unless somebody picked it before, but I doubt it.
We discussed maybe keeping track, but it's way more fun to just let it fly, you know?
Yeah. Let's see if I think this one is real.
Right.
Oh, this is a fitting one after this last question. Ricky Marvin is rumored to be Negro Casa's bottom.
Sheesh. rumored. So I'm going to say this. I would say it's probably not true. And if it is true, I would wait for either of them to make a formal statement on that. But if it is true, congratulations to both of them.
Do you think there should be like a whole press conference to just say that, like yes or no, yay or nay, thumbs up, thumbs down to it?
Yeah, I mean,
for this
I would,
thing
I,
from over 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean,
Tony Khan, we need the sleazeless scrum.
I mean, it's got to happen. I mean, people have to speak their truth, right? Sometime
it's got to be true, because there's no way 20 years ago, ostensibly straight, Tony Khan used the word bottom and it wasn't true. That's impossible.
I feel like somebody has to put together an actual sleaze scrum now and actually have these people on to like confirm or deny these things.
Wait. I got the better question. When people were giving Tony Khan these rumors, do you think he actually knew what a bottom was?
Ooh, that's quite, that's, We heard 47. That's 48. Does Tony Khan know that? I would probably assume so, but I think he would probably only know that because of social media. Like, he's probably like, what is people saying? Oh, I
this
see.
Was like 2004, so it was like really in the infancy of social media. I honestly don't think I even knew what that meant at the time. So I that 2004 ish.
In 2004, I was a no, I did, yeah. I absolutely did. I for sure did. I for sure did.
By same then. Bestie.
I mean, I might have. I don't know. That's a long time ago. I mean,
yeah. I was counting the days, but I did. Yeah. So the IW guide sees me as a femboy. Does everyone see me as a femboy? Or is that just Marcy that sees me as a femboy?
I didn't say I saw you as a femboy. Oh, I just okay. That's why you appreciate that. I'm the number one.
Okay. I see.
From what I remember of the quickies that I watched and was stood side by side for, I think you were the first, if not only person between the Goth IHOP or Femboy Hooters that chose Femboy.
No, actually, Femboy. It was literally everyone. 880 was the promotion of Femboys because everyone from 880 said Femboy Hooters.
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
All right,
but I think that? you might have been the first interview. So it was either you or Gianni. I can't remember.
I think it was Gianni, but Toddy, you did talk quite a bit because that's like what you do. So like you, you like kind of talked out the questions.
Butters buried me right there.
No, come on. No, you talked out the questions and it made it more interesting because like you kind of like played it out more. So it actually extended it a little bit.
You were our first non-cis person I had on.
Yeah. Let's go.
Ricky, so
let's go. See that? Look at that. Look, I'm moving mountains still. You know what I mean? See that?
Toddy, you're the best. We love you. That's why we had to have you on when we decided to do 880 month. You were you,
cool.
Gianni, and I think, you know, you were my first person I even talked to about it. And then I reached out to Reese Hayes and then Gianni Michaels. So
Yeah. I did not know that Gianni was a bowler until I listened to that last episode. Promise. I've never knew that. I've bowled one good game in my whole life, and it was very good, but I see that Gianni is just every game is
he
very
perfected
good.
It at 19 years old and quit, so
yeah,
doing perfect game. So you gotta fit that in somewhere when you're doing commentary for him at the off the show on in April here on the 26th. Somewhere you got to talk about him bowling a perfect game in his match. I think that'd be a great little tidbit in there.
Yeah,
that's a little Easter egg for the true listeners.
Yeah.
Are you folks coming down for Taco Mania on the 5th, on May 5th?
So May 5th, I believe, is what, Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah, Enjoy Wrestling's Taco Mania, May 5th. I'll be on the commentary team for that as well.
I would like to, but no. I don't think we're going to be able to, yeah.
Maybe I can be convinced to come to Taco Mania.
You can lie. I mean, I might believe it. I sometimes believe lies.
We'll see.
We don't want to do that to you, though. We like you too much.
Thank you. So that might be a lie. That might be a lie. But check this out.
Definitely
check this
not
out.
From me.
I believe it. I believe it. See, I'm believing it. See?
Toddy, I just want to know one more question before we get to voicemails. The award that you won for your podcast, is it hanging on one of your walls with nothing else around it?
No, it is actually in my living room. I would actually travel to show you my living room, but I have to lock myself inside my own bedroom so my cat brother doesn't crawl all over me. Anytime that we're in the same vicinity, he won't leave my side. So I literally have to lock myself into rooms to get away. But no, it's like in a picture frame on the mantle in my living room. But my mantle is covered with just like weird stuff that I've thrifted, like statues, pictures, plush animals. I've got like a charcoal drawing of my grandmother on it, all bunch of stuff. But nah, it's a little thing. But again, that was years ago, but it's still something I think of. That's for sure.
Also, we didn't talk about it, but you kind of mentioned it, that you destroyed your knee. How did you do this? Like, you don't wrestle,
yes.
So...
Yeah.
Explain your uncoordinated abilities to just make your knee explode.
Well, I was actively filling in as a referee at a no ring. So there were two boys. They were fighting as boys usually do, and I was the referee for the evening because we did not staff one that night. And wrestlers all the time, they get their water bottle and they dump it on their heads, and there's water everywhere. So this was just like a bar floor. And what had happened was, is one of the wrestlers came pretty close to me, and I tried to get out of the way. I slipped on the water, so but I caught my the thing was, is I caught myself from falling by like pivoting. But when I pivoted and put that weight down, my left knee just kind of exploded. So I dislocated my kneecap and I tore my patella tendon, and that's when I fell. So I actually tore my knee, stopping myself from falling, and then I fell. So that happened in September. I had surgery end of September, a second surgery at the end of December, and I'm still coming back, good days and bad. Sometimes I could walk all around, other days I just limp all around. But when I was at WrestleMania weekend, a lot of wrestlers says you have that wrestler's limp now. Like wrestlers walk around limping all the time, and they're like, "You got that wrestler's limp." So people know that you're in wrestling now because you have that limp. So there is some benefits to it. There is some benefits.
I thought you were just gonna just tell him like he used to be an adventurer until you took an arrow to the knee.
No. When I tell people what actually happened, they're just like, "That's crazy." I'm like, "That's not, I've done crazier things than that. That just happened to be the thing that it hurt me,
You
is
didn't
all."
follow that number one rule, man. You gotta limber up before you referee,
I didn't have the right shoes, number one. Number two, and they say this in all sports, like you'd never pivot, like never pivot, like don't pivot. And they say that in wrestling too, like you don't want to pivot. And I pivoted, and then when I pivoted, my knee exploded. And I knew that I was hurt, but I fell down, I called off help, I stood up. I didn't know the severity of the injury, so I just kept going with the whole show. And then at the end of the show, I sat outside, and that's when my knee locked up. And what I did not realize was, is I guess like people saw me fall and they were asking if I needed help up, and I waved them away. But I guess people didn't know I was injured. People didn't know I was injured. Like everyone didn't know I was injured. I was limping around for the rest of the show, but I don't know if they thought that I was just doing that for kicks or what. Keep them guessing, right? So I guess I did. But I sat outside and people just left the club one by one without even like checking in on me or nothing like that. And I was like, man, that's a bummer. That is a bummer that that happened. But then I had realized that people didn't know I was hurt, because when I had said I was hurt, I had people messaging me like, "Oh, you got hurt." And I'm like, this makes a lot of sense. This makes a lot of sense now. Yes, I was hurt. I was hurt.
Yeah, and the adrenaline wears off, and then it's like, oh yeah, it's gonna lock up and not then it's gonna be, oh
Yeah.
shit, something's wrong, really
So
wrong.
that's how I did that one, which is a bummer because it's still bugging me to this day. But yeah, I guess I got that wrestler's limp now, so that's a positive.
So how was your Mania weekend? What all did you do while you were out there? I know you did the 880 show. What else did you do?
I did the 880 show. I did Smash Master Wrestling, and there was a couple other gigs I was gonna do. But I was gonna do Queer Punk Outlaws, which is adjacent to T2T Brooklyn, but that got canceled. That was at the FDR skate park on Saturday, and there was an incident on Friday at the FDR skate park, so no shows were allowed to happen after that show finished. So that was like, I was gonna do hosting and ring announcing for that, and I was looking forward to that only because I get some commentary gigs, but I don't get a lot of ring announcing gigs and hosting gigs. So I was looking forward to that one only because it was different than what I usually do. And it was also at FDR Skate Park. So I was like, dang, that would be a cool one. So I admit I was super bummed. I was super bummed that didn't happen. After that, I just hung out with a couple of wrestlers and we just watched Mania from somebody else's Airbnb. So I just did a couple of shows, and I was mainly in Philadelphia, not really to go to shows, but to go to the shows that I was working on. And I'm very fine with enjoying the rest of those shows from home. So I had an okay time with some wrestlers back at somebody's Airbnb, and we watched WrestleMania. So, Roman Reigns lost, so that was a bummer. But other than that, it was fine.
Did you write out it with anybody, or was it just you?
I wrote out. I want to keep it kayfabe who I wrote out with. No, it's not like it's a name or anything. But if I said, everybody would be like, "Whoa! I thought that was a person your rival." So I wrote out with a rival of mine. Let's say an 880 wrestling rival of mine. So I want to keep it kayfabe who it was.
That's all good. The reason I ask is because I wonder what did you drive or did the other person drive?
I drove.
What is your aux policy for the car?
My aux policy for the car, driver gets aux. So if I'm not driving, the other person gets aux. If I'm driving, I get aux. So who's ever driving, it's usually their car or their rental car or whatever. So I always feel like if it's your thing, you do the music. A lot of the times, too, if I'm driving with somebody and I'm the one driving, there will be no music because I can't keep conversation and listen to music at the same time. It overstimulates me big time, big time. So it's either listen if I'm driving, we're either listening to music or we're talking. We're not doing both. If I'm driving, listening to music and talking, too much anxiety for me. Too much anxiety. We're not doing all that. It's way too loud. Just pick one thing. But who's ever driving gets the aux cord to answer your question.
Anything else before we go to voicemails?
I think we're ready for some voicemails.
All right.
No one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Don't you ever call me that ever again. I'll kill you.
All right. Up first is Baby Ref Rosie Jones.
Hey, guys. This is Baby Ref Rosie Jones calling in for Toddy Tondera. Hi, Toddy. My question for you is, what have been some of your favorite matches that you have called for? And if that question has already been taken or asked, my second follow-up question is, who are five wrestlers that you want to call for in the future? Okay, love you. Bye.
Ooh. Ooh.
Also, before this, we all want to give a big shout-out to Rosie for crushing it this WrestleMania weekend.
Yes.
Baby Ref. Baby Ref with a couple of questions. Some of my favorite matches that I've called. I would say some of my favorite matches I've called. The original 880 championship ladder match. Because at that time, we had bigger crowds that would throw garbage. And that would have been my first title match I ever called. And Cowpoke Paul originally won that. So Cowpoke Paul winning the inaugural 880 championship was one. If we're talking about WrestleMania weekend, Edith Surreal versus amateur wrestler Reese Hayes for the Enjoy Championship at the Yuki Club was another. I gotta say, a lot of the work that I've done with Wrestlers Lab have been some of my favorite work. There was Wrestlers Lab, Showa Bunga 2, Mecha Mayhem 5-on-5. At Showa Bunga 2 was their last show, and I really enjoyed that match because there was just a lot of friends in that one. I had a lot of friends in that match, a lot of longtime friends in that match. So that is another one that comes to mind. I had the absolute honor and privilege to referee Santa and Cowpoke Paul versus the Grinch and a race car driver. That was a good tag team match that I'll remember. So probably that as well. So just junk like that usually is what I like doing, stuff like that.
Damn Jace Car race car.
Yeah, hate that guy. But there's a lot of the stuff for Enjoy as well. Now, as far as wrestlers that I would like to call their matches that I haven't yet, that's a hard one because I've called a lot of people's matches so far. I will say that I'm looking forward to being better at calling people's matches. Now, I know I have called championship matches, different championship belt matches. I want to call more championship matches and I want to get better at calling championship matches. I would say that. I'm trying to think of one that I would absolutely like. Oh, Orange Cassidy. Honestly, Orange Cassidy. I mean, that's probably a big one. That's probably a big stepping stone there. But Orange Cassidy, and I haven't called a Lee Moriarty match yet. So probably those two, I would say.
Well, April 26th, you're going to get a chance to call a championship match. The IW Guy Championship will be on the line at Gianni Michael Enrico's Family Ties 2. So far, all we know that's announced is the IW Guide Wrestler of the Year 2023, Derek Dillinger, and Pittsburgh's own Mikey Montgomery will be in that match. We do not know who the other two participants will be just yet. So, but you will get to call that.
April 26th, huh?
Yes, okay. Sir.
April 26th at T2T Pittsburgh. Yeah, I was hoping that was going to be called Tupac Family Values, but I guess we're just going to do the same thing we did last year for some reason. But hey, that's the breaks, right?
At the Dottie Dome. I can't wait.
Dottie Block. Yeah, on Dottie Block.
Are you an Adams Family or an Adams Family Values person?
Probably Adams Family person. Probably Adams Family person, I would say. But Tupac Family is a whole family that wears Tupac shirts that comes to 880 Wrestling.
Yeah.
And I love them. They're probably our, gotta think, our biggest fans, considering they wear the things every week and come to Thursday Night Fights. Thursday Night Fights you could check out live 8 p.m. on YouTube for free. It's kind of like a pickup basketball game. So if you like pickup basketball, you might like this.
We did promote it earlier in the show because I'm promoting 880 all month as well, and then AIW has a show Thursday as well, so we're kind of talking about both. But then also, as far as the Tupac family goes, I think that's really cool that there's like a family thing that they do as they go to wrestling. I think that's a really cool thing. Like, I wish my family had something that they did like that back in the day. Before everybody decided to die on me, we could, have like a family thing where every week we went to like wrestling or something. That'd have been really cool.
Yeah. And Tupac family son does have an interest in being a wrestler in the future.
Hell yeah.
Obviously waiting till he's 18 to do so. But he's looking forward to it. And so this is his first step into wrestling. And I'll tell you what, if he likes what we do, then he should just watch wrestling in general, because there's a lot of other stuff out there that he'd like too.
Yeah, probably. I'm not 100% who this next person is, but they know you, Toddy. So here we go.
Hey, this is for the podcast with Toddy Tondera. I wanted to ask him if he has a favorite moment as a commentator while commentating for obviously indie wrestling. And like where that took place, or if he has maybe a favorite nickname he's come up with for someone. Yeah, this is Prin, by the way. I'm sure Toddy recognized my voice, but yeah, have a good show, y'all.
Yeah, that's Prin. That's absolutely Prin. There's no doubt about that. That is Prin. Prin is a friend of mine in the Pittsburgh area. Prin and I have been friends for a long time. In fact, I met Prin while doing my old podcast, where he used to work. I did a live podcast there. I did not know him at the time. I was set to do a live podcast where he worked, and then I walked in, and he was there, and then we became friends. So Prin goes to wrestling shows here and there. Interesting thing about Prin is he understands wrestling even better than some people in wrestling. It's a weird thing. He gets the whole DIY junk is why. To answer Prin's question, my favorite nickname that I've come up with for someone would probably be the Wild West Skyscraper, and that is Perfect Perkins, Big Perfect Perkins up in Brooklyn. Yeah, cowboy by trait, but I call him the Wild West Skyscraper. So that's probably my favorite nickname I came up with him. As far as my favorite moment that I've called, that's an interesting one too, because again, I'm going to go back to the Cowpoke Paul ladder match where he won that title. I remember, cause again, I've done more things than that. It's not that I want to keep harping on the same thing. It's just at that time, it was my first championship match I ever called. And I remember New Year's Eve, I was working with TR. TR is he's the king of the streets up in New Kensington. He used to do a lot of music booking at 880 Wrestling. But TR and I were the original tag team of 880 when we first opened. Before we even had shows, TR is my tag team partner. And TR and I were working door at a rave on New Year's Eve. And I remember the show going up. Misconnections 1, which is on YouTube. It was shot by Scotty Swemba from Enjoy and also Defy and all that stuff. I remember putting the phone to my ear and listening to myself call that match or call Poke taking the title down, and I got teary-eyed. I honestly did. I've called bigger matches since then, definitely, but that was the time I knew. I was like, wow, I'm actually doing this thing. That's like proof that I'm doing this. It's out there in the world, and I was listening to it on the phone. So that's definitely the moment that that comes up. And then right after that, all the garbage that was thrown, that was something that I'll remember too. But shout out Perfect Perkins, big dude, the Wild West skyscraper.
I believe he's saw him at 880 too. Yeah, or not 880, but Enjoy, right?
Yes, he fought MV Young. Yeah, yes, he fought MV Young at an Enjoy Wrestling show. Dude is chiseled out of stone. He's a unique cat. Like, he's one of the most unique cats I know. Like, he'll walk into locker rooms with country music playing on him. Like, he'll have a speaker attached to him, and he'll walk in that way. And he says m'lady a lot. And a lot of the times too, if you're not up to the task, he'll just call you a tenderfoot. You know, a lot of tenderfoots. It'll stomp on some tenderfoots. So it's definitely a guy. I'm trying to think of any other nickname, but we'll go with that one, because that's the first one that pops up for sure.
I remember at an Odyssey, he was an entrant, and I went hog wild for the Perfect Plex. So I was
right,
very much for it.
Yeah, dude's cool. Dude's just different. Dude's a different guy.
I want to know, before we get to the last voicemail. So at Enjoy, sometimes they have Jem on commentary. Have you thought about having Jem on commentary with you at 880? Is that just something that just hasn't worked out, like, timing wise?
No, all the time. Yeah, no, all the time. I if Jem would ever want to do commentary at 880 Wrestling, anytime. I love working with Jem for sure.
I just was just thinking about that and how dope that would be. So
we did Taco Mania together last year. That I believe is the only time we've done. No, that's a lie. We did Enjoy Wrestling's Taco Mania last year, and then Enjoy also did a show at a local club, Bottle Rocket. Bottle Rocket is in the Allentown neighborhood of Pittsburgh, and they the whole block has access to like this warehouse, and it was called the Demolition Derby. So Jem and myself did commentary at Bottle Rocket. I always, when I say Jem and myself, I always have to think about saying that, because a lot of the times I will say Jem and I, and it sounds like Gemini, so I have to say Jem and myself. No, I love Jem, yeah, for sure. Jem's great.
I for some reason, I never thought about that until right now. And I think that that's a combination outside of being on the Enjoy Patreon, where that's where you can hear those shows.
Yeah.
That I would really like to hear that combo. So I might have to sign up for the Enjoy Patreon to check them out, because I kind of need to have that in my life now that I think about it. So
another match, back to Prince's question, another match that I always remember as something that I really enjoyed calling and appreciative of calling was the Demolition Derby match on the Bottle Rocket show that Ziggy ended up winning. Ziggy Haim ended up winning. Calling a match where Ziggy won with a great crowd reaction with Jem by my side, that's up there. I would put that over the Cowpoke Paul match, but the Cowpoke Paul match was the first time that I heard myself doing it and was happy I was doing it. And I haven't really gotten a reaction out of myself when I hear myself since that ladder match. So those are a couple for sure.
Oh yeah. All right. I
shout
think
out
I,
friend of the pod, Ziggy.
Yes. Yeah. Hope you enjoy your retirement, and I hope I can hang out with Rupert soon. I think I know who this last person is. Again, I didn't. I don't want to announce them because it'll give away the fun of the phone call. So I'm just gonna play it, and we can confirm at the end, and then discuss the question.
Hi, I have a question for Toddy. So I know that you've gone through a bit of an injury crisis recently with your knee, and obviously wish a speedy recovery for you. But in addition to the physical, I know a lot of people can deal with mental struggles of such an injury. And my question was, what kind of candy do you like to eat if you're on a pier, like on an ocean or a lake or something like that? Thanks.
Well, that is Delightful Dan, the goddamn candy man.
Yeah! Call number two from Delightful Dan.
Gotta love Delightful Dan, the goddamn candy man. One of the best in the game for sure. What I would like on a pier? Well, yeah. I've known Candyman for a long time, and that's one of the reasons why my teeth are so bad, because I've known Candyman for too long. I'd like to mess up my teeth with a big thick stack of taffy. I'd for sure just like banana taffy, grape taffy, cherry taffy, make a little ball, throw it in my mouth, have it in the side there. You know how like a baseball player has sunflower seeds?
Mm-hmm.
Just make a little taffy ball in the side of my mouth on a pier. You know, I like looking at stuff. I like looking at water. I like looking at that. I like to chill on a pier with a big ball of taffy in my mouth. Delightful Dan, thank you for the question.
Yeah, taffy's the move.
I would go with sour Skittles. Some mouthful of sour Skittles.
I got breaking kayfabe a little bit. We can see one another. I got a big bag of Sour Patch Kids.
Hell yeah!
And I was not allowed to eat this big bag of Sour Patch Kids until I got my teeth fixed. And I'll tell you what, they're halfway gone, cuh.
That may be the reason that you lost half your tooth.
Yeah, jelly bean, actually. On a jelly bean, I busted that. Oh,
it's even worse. What are you doing, Toddy? Come on.
Look, Butters, I mean... That's just how we go. It's just from the cradle to the grave. You know, it's been a walk of shame.
How do you feel about all the candy companies getting in on the jelly bean craze?
Here's the thing about jelly beans. Believe it or not, I'm not like a big bean head. But if you give me a bag of something, I'm definitely gonna crush it. These particular ones were the Warhead jelly beans, so I had to. You know, I had to go. If you ever want to just like trip yourself out to a bad degree and like burn your tongue in the sides of your mouth, put like four Warheads in your mouth and then like just take a sip of water and then just shake your head around a bunch. And that's what I do before every Thursday night fight. That's a lie. See, I can lie back, but I have done that and it's not worth it. Stay in school.
I'm going to give you, since you crush sacks of things, I'm going to give you a sack of shrooms, and I want you to commentate on mushrooms, the 880 show. Is there a story?
I've done commentary for a place out in East PA, and I, to answer your question, no, I've never done commentary under any type of substance whatsoever, and I won't. I just wouldn't. It's just not what I do. But there were some wrestlers who were doing that, and they were walking in slow motion. It was over at the Sanctuary in East PA. There were some wrestlers who did. There was a wrestler who did shrooms and gave another person shrooms, and then they walked in slow motion because they were on shrooms. So I had to call a match where kayfabe wise wrestlers were on shrooms.
Nice.
That was a fun one. The Sanctuary is a cool place. They do stunt fighting out in Hazleton, PA. If you ever check them out, Junie Underwood's out there, Troy Locke, V Daniel, Jorge Guapo, bunch of people out there, bunch
Jorge
of weirdos.
Guapo. I like that name.
Jorge Guapo. Yeah.
I think as we discussed, we're big Junie Underwood fans on this podcast.
For sure, for sure.
He was on Big Gay Brunch.
We start fires for Junie.
Yeah, starting little fires everywhere.
Yeah. So one of my favorite things, like Wrestler's Lab, like before the current iteration, is probably the same iteration, but like I remember watching them back when we were like, I think we were still IWTV Guide at the time. They had a character on there, Pimp Daddy Apple Cinnamon.
Yeah.
And he shot steroids up before the beginning of his match. Obviously not real steroids, but it was the funniest goddamn thing. I still think about it to this day. I follow him on Twitter because of that, and I still bring it up all the time when it's talked about, like silly things in wrestling, because it's one of the funniest best moments ever in wrestling, is him being a heel, the name Pimp Daddy Apple Cinnamon, and then the fact that he shot up steroids but to start his match so that he could try to win the match.
Yeah, people said, hey, if you want to bounce back from that knee injury, start doing all kinds of supplements and stuff. And I'm like, yo, my life is already pretty messed up. I don't know about that.
Come on, a gym bro.
Start
going to the gym. And
What do you think? What do you think if I got... I remember when I first got hurt, I told everybody I was going to come back. I was going to come back on the gas with big sideburns. And I did come back with big sideburns when I originally came back, but I wasn't on the gas, but when I have my sideburns out, that's the gas. That is the gas, is the sideburns.
I agree. I also think that needs to be evil Toddy. That's not normal Toddy. That's evil Toddy with the sideburns. You got the big mutton chop sideburns rocking.
Well, that's, I'll tell you move. What, speaking about Gianni was a big fan of the sideburns. Before I shaved them off, I took a picture of the sideburns and sent them, because
he seems like the type that would be, A, he's a gym bro, B, he for sure likes people that are on the gas, and C, he likes evil versions of people because he himself is evil. So evil Toddy with the sideburns makes sense that he would like that. So
the Dangerous Knights crew, all of those guys, all those freaks, all three of them, David Lawless, Frank DeVille. I've known Frank DeVille for a decade, and he used to sell used cars and old tar. That was like his thing. Like there would be buckets of old tar in the back of these cars, and he'd sell them out in the Mount Washington neighborhood of Pittsburgh. But Frank DeVille, before wrestling, Frank DeVille was always a shyster. He's a shyster in current
He was
day.
A real piece of shit. Yeah, he used to be a real piece of shit.
He used to be. Yeah, he used to be.
Yeah. You know, we are Dangerous Knights crew affiliate here. Our legal lawyer is one Mr. David Lawless, as he was our first, I believe you, MV and him were our first two 880 guests last year. And David Lawless's episode probably did the biggest number we've ever done on a podcast. So he is a very popular.
He's a draw.
He's a very popular, well-respected lawyer in some circles, and maybe not so respected in other lawyers, but a true friend of ours. And he has definitely taken me out for sloppy steaks at Trafani's a time or two to discuss legal matters with the podcast, and taking my grandma's house from her. So
I didn't know he was such a big draw.
What's that, Mars?
I was going to say, I thought, you know, by helping with the podcast, do you mean taking your grandmother's house from her? But you already acknowledged that. So.
Yes, that's so that the podcast has a built-in studio forever and ever. So
you think David Lawless respects femboys? Do you think David Lawless appreciates femboys?
Yes.
Interesting.
I think the real David Lawless that we got to know doesn't fuck with any of the weird shit that the other Lawless that everybody knows. I think so. And I think even his character probably secretly does, but doesn't want everybody to know.
Marcy, what's your feeling on that?
I think he's on the DL. I think he's on the DL.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. DL femboy lover.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, that's fine. What do you folks think about talking about different types of wrestlers? What do you folks think about the Den of Desire?
I love it. I fucking love it. Yeah, okay. Huge fan. Absolutely. Huge fan here. Well, I haven't seen a lot because, like, I'm just trying to get back into 880 because I was away for a little bit. And, you know, once you're away from something for a little bit, it's hard to kind of jump back into things. But one of the way they market themselves, the way that they the stuff they do on Instagram, I think they do a really good job of, like, really putting themselves out there. And we've discussed it before. Marco has the fucking hog on him. So, like, we have to, like, just respect.
Respectfully.
Yeah. Respectfully. We have to respect the Den's desire because.
I know some hog secrets of Marco, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do. The reason why I mentioned the Den of Desire, because a little birdie told me the Dangerous Knights crew, who we're talking about, has a little beef coming up with the Den of Desire.
Oh, well, I feel bad for them because...
Yeah, you're either a Den guy or a Dangerous guy.
It's gonna turn into a real civil war on this podcast.
I feel real, I'm real torn now. That kind of breaks my heart. That's like when Derek and Ziggy split. It really broke my heart in two. I was never the same after.
Derek Dillinger is a Mickey Avalon fan. That's something we both listen. We both have listened to Mickey Avalon in our lives. That's something that the Neon Tarantino and I have in common. It's about it, though. I mean, we both wear a beanie, but I wear it on my head, and he kind of wears it over one ear. That's kind of the difference between us.
Yeah, you know, that ear. Well, it's probably to, like, hide when he was bleeding all the time before. I don't know what it's for now. Maybe that's the side he sleeps on. I don't know.
Cool guy.
Well, thank you for coming on, Toddy. This isn't going to be a 7-hour podcast like you wanted. I'm sorry. I have to go to bed. I got to get up in a couple hours. Mm-hmm. But we would love for you to plug anything and everything you got going on right now.
Okay. I'm at Toddy Tondera on the Instagram application. Also on the Instagram application at Brick Body Kids. That's where I buy and sell clothing. So if you want to support me, that would be, I would venture over to Brick Body Kids. Coming up here, I guess on April 26th here, IW Guide is having their championship belt on the line, and that will be at 880 Wrestling's Family Ties. I will be on that show. Taco Mania, May 5th. That's another one. That's in Pittsburgh, PA. That's a walk-up show. So if you want to join, enjoy wrestling. And, you know, all the hits are going to be there. Edith Surreal, Kings of the District is going to be there. Derek Dillinger is going to be there. But that's May 5th. And then I got some stuff later on in May as well. But the two big ones, I guess, coming up, end of the month here at Family Ties and then Taco Mania. But I appreciate you having me on. And as usual, get roached.
I love it. Mars?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and SoundCloud at eGirlFanboyBoy, boy spelled B-O-I. As we mentioned, 26 Family Ties. I will be DJing as well. Come check it out. Watch some fun violence and some fun dance music.
Jess?
And you can find me on Twitter at JessBonesJB and at the Pup Pack feed. Our last episode was on Kickboxer Vengeance, and I had thoughts and opinions, and you will have to listen to them there, and you will find out why I like physical media.
It was also the debut of Angry Jess.
I can't wait to come on and talk about Suburban Commando. That's my one of my all-time favorite films, and it has one of my all-time favorite lines in it. It is. It has Christopher Lloyd has one of my favorite lines in a movie ever, and it's
"I was frozen today."
But one of the best lines ever. I still think about it to this day when I'm cold outside doing something. I think about that line, and it makes me chuckle. You can follow me and my ramblings on Twitter at Charlie_Butters. And I think it's the same on Instagram, maybe no underscore on Instagram. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to us. Help keep us in the top 180 wrestling podcasts on Twitter. I don't think we got back in this last week. So come on, guys. Also, patreon.com/IWGuide. We have the $5 tier, $10 tier gets you the same stuff as the $5 tier plus free merch when we release merch. Other merch we have is over at brainbustertees.com. Check out our podcast friends At Odds with Wrestling, and the card is going to change. Also, check out our other friends, the official graphic designer of IW Guide, JCP Designs, pwponderings.com, Time Capsule Toys, Toy Hio, Rubber City Toys, Big Starks Brand, Set Tab Photo, AJ Small Photography, Michelle Carter, Jose Rodriguez, Gorilla Press Apparel, and the best barbecue in Northeast Ohio, Smoke and Jay's Barbecue. Medical advice this week, do not pivot.
Nope, don't do it.
Watch some indie wrestling, everybody.
Later.
Yep. Later, dweebs. My dick cost a late night fee. Yo, dick got the HIV. My dick plays on the double feature screen. Yo, dick went straight to DVD. My dick bigger than a bridge. Yo, dick look like a little kid's. My dick large like the Chargers. The whole team. Yo, shit look like you 14. My dick locked in a cage, right? Yo, dick suffer from stage fright. My dick so hot it's stolen. Yo, dick look like Gary Coleman. My dick pink and big. Yo, dick stinks like shit. My dick got a seize to do. Yo, dick needs a tweezer, dude. My dick is like super size. Yo, dick look like two fries. My dick more mass than the earth. Yo, dick half staff, it needs work. My dick been there and done that. Yo, dick sits it with dunce cap. My dick VIP. Yo, shit needs ID. It's time that we let the world know. Dude, you gotta let your girl go. DS is the best in the business. P.S. We got dicks like Jesus. It's time that we let the world know. Dude, you gotta let your girl go. DS is the best in the business. P.S. We got dicks like Jesus. My dick need no introduction. Yo, dick don't even function. My dick served a whole luncheon. Yo, dick look like a munchkin. My dick size of a pumpkin. Yo, dick look like Macaulay Culkin. My dick good loving. Yo, dick good for nothing. My dick bench press 350. Yo, dick couldn't shoplift at thrifty. My dick pretty damn skippy. Yo, dick hungry as a hippie. My dick don't fit down the chimney. Yo, dick it's like a kid from the Philippines. My dick is like a M16. Yo, dick broken vending machine. My dick parts the seas. Yo, dick farts and queens. My dick rumble in the jungle. Yo, dick got touched by your uncle. My dick goes to yoga. Yo, dick fruit roll up. My dick grade A beef. Yo, dick mayday geek. My dick sick and dangerous. Yo, dick quick and painless. My dick nuff said. Yo, dick love spread. It's time that we let the world know. Dude, you gotta let your girl go. DS is the best in the business. PS, we got dicks like Jesus. It's time that we let the world know. Dude, you gotta let your girl go. DS is the best in the business. PS, we got dicks like Jesus.
Like Jesus.
Dicks like Jesus.
Dicks like Jesus.